The Justice Minister says new legislation passed last night shows the government is going after gang leaders where it hurts most, their pockets. The new laws give police powers to go after the assets of gang associates who can't prove the court or to the court how they came to possess them. Kitty Allen says organised criminals are structuring their finances to avoid their assets being seized by putting property into the names of associates. Kitty Allen is with us now. Kia ora, good morning.
Hey, good morning, Corin.
You are confident that this law change will lead to a reduction in gang violence, gang activity?
I'm confident that that this will minimise the amount of profits and profiteering that criminal organisations currently do and undertake. And I'm confident that that any organisation that is incentivised by profits, like these have shown to be, will significantly amend the ways in which they operate.
So what's going on here? These gangs are making money, presumably from illegal means, drugs or whatever. They're then giving it to friends and associates to avoid being caught. I mean, are you confident that they're not going to just find another way to get around this?
Yeah, that's pretty much exactly right, Corin. That's exactly what they're doing. We've had the Proceeds of Crime Recovery Scheme in New Zealand for 10 years. It's been exceptionally excellent in terms of achieving the outcomes of what it sought to do. It sought to disrupt criminal activity. What we've found, particularly over the last 5 to 6 years, and there's a direct correlation with the 501s and the decisions that were made then, new form of gangs came into New Zealand. They're operating and marketing in a completely different way. It's really focused around hierarchical kind of money flows. And they've worked out that the SIPRA regime, it disrupts the way that they can make cash and stash cash. So they're putting it names of associates and otherwise. So this has been something that the police have been looking at for many years. When I took on the role, I said that I'd only do things that had a sound evidential basis. This is indeed the way that the government wants to tackle justice and crime issues. This does have a sound evidential basis to disrupt what we say criminal organisations are doing.
Will it prevent gun violence, though? The issue that is worrying people the most about gangs. We've just saw a report from RNZ yesterday that civilians getting caught in the crossfire of gang wars, this most recent one we saw, I think, in Auckland involving tribesmen and killer bees. There'll be more in the future, right? So will the legislation like this do anything to stop that?
Yes, exactly right. There will be more of these types of, gun-fueled violence, which we've seen. We saw this again last year. In a couple of hours, Coroner, just after 9 o'clock, we'll have another bill that passed. That's the Criminal Activity Intervention Legislation. That bill there introduces different and further criminal interventions, and it creates offences to, again, disrupt the way that people
are using firearms. Will they have a firearms protection order that is proposed by the National Party?
Firearm protection orders so we've done more in firearms and firearms protection than any other government. Let's just put that at the forefront.
But it doesn't include that particular measure. Why not?
Yeah, let's be clear about what it does. So what this does is it ensures that anybody that is discharging a weapon, currently it's barely an offence. It's an offence to discharge a weapon in a public place. But other than that, it's really barely an offence to discharge a weapon. So we're creating offence that the police have sought, and this is intent to intimidate. So that's what we're introducing in just a couple of hours.
So just to clarify, are these new? Do we know about these laws that you're proposing, or is this new legislation you're introducing?
This is a part of what I came on to be interviewed about. We're introducing two pieces of legislation. One became a bill last night.
Yes.
It was the initial piece of legislation.
Yes, understand that, yep.
The Proceeds of Crime, and the second piece of legislation we're discussing this morning is the one that passes its third reading in a couple of hours. That's the Criminal Activity Intervention legislation.
Right, well, you've got your hands full there. Okay, just on the issue of Stuart Nash, are you confident as a cabinet minister when you sit around the cabinet table that your discussions and your disagreements and whatnot are not going to be revealed to members outside the cabinet?
Well, look, I don't have too much further to what to add to what the Prime Minister said last night. He said that this was an untenable and completely it was an offence that shouldn't have occurred. It was an absolute breach of the Cabinet manual, and he's been dismissed.
But are you worried? I mean, does there need to be a probe here to make sure that this was 3 years ago? I mean, are you worried that other discussions may have been, you know, revealed about that you may have been involved in? I mean, do you want some assurances that there hasn't been more of this?
No, I'm really confident in the Prime Minister's approach. I think he's done the right thing. I think that the nature and gravity of the offending, it was dealt with swiftly within 2 hours, and whatever next steps will be the next steps.
But so no need for a further probe?
Oh, look, I don't really have a view on that at this time. I don't have all the facts before me, and that will be ultimately a decision for the Prime Minister.
Just finally, do you think Stuart Nash should stay as an MP?
Oh, look, I really don't have a view on that either. It's up to him what he chooses to do next, and no doubt we'll hear from him in due course.
Disappointing, though. I mean, presumably he's been a colleague of yours for some time.
Oh, I think it's always disappointing when you have colleagues, whether it's from your side of the house or from the other side of the house. Anybody that takes a fall in this space, you take it hard collectively across the board. But there are really clear lines that we have to operate within, and the Prime Minister has been clear about his expectations of his ministers. And we're clear on what those expectations are.
And there's
are.
No way, in your view, he could stay on as a Cabinet Minister?
Oh, absolutely not. No, the Prime Minister said that, and I agree with his view.
Kitty Allen, really appreciate your time this morning. That is the Justice Minister there, 21 minutes past six.
Moving overseas now, on the Mexican side of the US-Mexico border, at least 39 people have died in a fire at an immigration facility. Officials say it started during a protest against deportations. The fire at the centre of the city of Juarez broke out shortly before 10 p.m. local time, and many of the victims are thought to be Venezuelans trying to reach the US. Some reports have suggested those at the facility had been kept in locked rooms. Vice, Latin America and migration journalist David Noriega told the BBC who was being kept in that facility.
The really important thing to remember is that the situation on the border, particularly on the southern side of the border, on the Mexico side of the border, is the product of a years-long effort by the United States in collaboration with Mexico to prevent the entry of migrants into U.S. territory where they can legally claim asylum. What this has resulted in is, again, years-long accumulation of migrant populations on the Mexico side of the border, in border cities all along the Mexico side of the line, Juarez being obviously one of the largest. So the reason something like this could happen in the first place is because the U.S. has been pushing these people consistently under both Trump and Biden to the Mexico side, leading to overcrowded shelters, overcrowded detention centers, extremely tense relationships between migrant communities and Mexican immigration authorities, who are acting essentially as proxies of the United States. And, you know, you have situations like this one where you have large numbers of migrants crowded into a facility, and when a fire breaks out, it's almost inevitably absolutely devastating.
And it's being reported the migrants had set mattresses ablaze. David Noriega has more detail now on how long people were being incarcerated.
It varies tremendously because a lot of these policies are not particularly transparent or legible. You know, I think you could say anywhere from days to indefinitely, depending on the circumstances, depending on the local authorities, depending on